Yolamo, and I'm reading through the Bible with you. And right now we're on 1 Timothy chapter 5. And then I have a message after that, a short message today, which will be a little hard for some people to understand. But hopefully it'll be straightened out. The Holy Spirit will give me the words to make it more plain to you. Let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless the service. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, we thank and praise your holy name. We thank you for your instructions in regarding to receive everything into the mind and renew our minds daily and to refresh our spirits daily. In this way we will never die. Lord, open the hearts, souls, minds of everyone to receive it. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's start out with the King James.
Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren.
Okay, now read from mine.
Never speak harshly to an older man or an elder, but appeal to him respectfully as though he were your own father.
Okay. That's talking about an elderly person, a man. All right. Or even an elder in the church. All right, then go ahead.
Talk to younger men as you would talk to your own brothers. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren.
Go ahead.
The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity.
All right, now read the whole thing again.
Never speak harshly to an older man or an elder, but appeal to him respectfully as though he were your own father. Talk to the younger men as you would talk to your own brothers. Treat the older women as you would treat your mothers, and treat the younger women as sisters with all purity as your own sisters.
And then go.
And King James, honor widows that are widows indeed.
Eight, nine.
Advice regarding widows, elders, and slaves. The church must care for any widow who has no one else to care for her.
That is considered a true widow, is one that doesn't have children or a sister or someone to help take care of them. A true widow has no one to take care of them but the church. Okay, then go ahead.
In King James, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God.
Okay, read mine.
But if she has children or grandchildren, their first responsibility is to show godliness at home and repay their parents by taking care of them. This is something that pleases God very much.
Okay, King James.
Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth.
Okay, read nine.
But a woman who is a true widow is one who truly is alone in this world, has placed her faith, her hope in God. Day and night she petitions or asks God for help and spends much of her time in prayer. But the widow who lives only for pleasure is spiritually dead.
Right, there are young widows too, and if they just are seeking pleasure, they're spiritually dead. Then what?
King James, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel.
Okay, read the NIXJ.
Give these instructions to all the members of the church so that the widows you support will not be criticized.
Yeah, criticized for sponging off the church. So you have to tell everybody why you're supporting them, because it's the instructions of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. That's the way he wants the church to conduct itself. All right?
Yes.
And you tell everybody so that somebody says, well, look at that old lady over there. She's been in the church. She doesn't do anything. She doesn't give anything to the church and so on. Well, she's a widow indeed, and the church is supposed to support them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
But those who
and they have to be at least 60 years old. Okay, then what?
But those who won't care for their own relatives, especially those living in the same house, have denied the faith in which we believe. These sort of people are worse than unbelievers.
And then what?
In King James, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work.
Okay, do that.
A widow who is in your book to receive support must be a woman who is at least 60.
Well, you have to make a list of the ones who are to be supported and the reasons why. So the one that you mark it down in a book, okay? What?
Must be a woman who is at least 60 years old and one who was faithful to her husband. She must be well respected by everyone.
Yeah, anyone that wasn't faithful to their husband, you don't have to support them. And people get to be 60 years and plus very quickly. I mean, it just happens overnight. Okay, read that again.
A widow who is in your book to receive support must be a woman who is at least 60 years old and one who was faithful to her husband.
Keep going.
She must be well respected by everyone because of the Christian life she has lived. If she raised her children by God's
standards,
if she was kind to strangers, if she helped other Christians, according to the Word of God, if she had helped those who were in trouble, if she has always been ready to do good.
And she is always ready to do good. Always in her life was ready to do the things that the Lord commands her to do. Then what?
In King James, but the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith.
Okay, I can read mine.
The younger widows must not be on the list, because their physical desires will overpower their devotion to Christ, and they will forget Christ, and they will marry. They are damned, for they have truly thrown away their faith in the Lord.
Okay, then what, King James?
And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not.
Yeah, there's always people, young women in the church, who go from one house to the other. They're busybodies, they go back and talk about others, and even talk about the elders of the church, and that is never to be. Okay, then what? Go ahead, read it.
On top of this, they will become lazy and spend their time gossiping from house to house, getting into other people's business, and talking about things that they should not. In King James, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully.
So what he's saying is that these young widows, instead of marrying quickly, they wait until their flesh is overtaken by Satan and they become wanton, they forget Christ. So he says that he prefers that the married women, these young widows, get married, have children, and take care of the house. So he's not against marriage, all right?
Amen.
So he's telling them that, but there's just a lot of semantics here. One is people that don't want to get married, have children, and take care of their houses. And the other ones, he wants them to get married so they don't become carried away by Satan. Okay, because he wants them to get married again. Okay, then what?
So my advice to these younger widows is that they should marry again, have children, and take care of their own homes. Then the enemy will not be able to say anything against them.
Yeah.
In King James, for some are already turned aside after Satan.
Read what I said.
For I am afraid that some of them have already gone astray and now follow Satan.
And some of these young widows have gone astray and are definitely possessed by the devil. Then what?
In King James, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed.
Do you know what that means? Anybody? Okay, tell them what I said.
If a Christian woman has relatives who are widows, she must take care of them and not put the responsibility on the church.
So if you, even if you're a woman under 60 years old, you're only accepted so far as being supported by the church if you're a genuine widow. And but if a woman is, say, 20, 30, 40, or 50 years old, then, and she's able to work and she does work, she is required to take care of those in her household that are not able to support themselves. You know, this chapter 5 in 1 Timothy tells of how that people, when they sin or they don't pay any attention, they don't listen to reproof or rebuke, you're supposed to rebuke them in front of the whole church. You're supposed to do it. And this is right from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So that other people will be afraid. Okay? And remember, the Lord tells you to smite a scorner, somebody that's not paying any attention to what's being said. Amen?
Amen.
That's scorning the Word of God. And so you're just doing it for their own welfare and for the welfare of everybody else in the church. Amen?
Amen.
So that's why you're supposed to pay attention, because you're supposed to be afraid when you see something like that happen. It's really off the wall to ungodly children and ungodly people that are not familiar with the Word here. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
If a Christian woman has relatives who are widows, she must take care of them and not put the responsibility on the church. Then the church...
That's what it says. Now you understand that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then what?
Then the church will be able to take care of widows who are really alone.
Who are really true widows. Amen? Because if young widows, you're taking care of them, and they're able to go out and work. No, they're sitting around being busybodies and tattletalers and things like this, and get in their nose in other people's business, wandering from one house to the other, visiting. Well, there won't be any money to take care of the really poor and needy. Amen?
Amen.
And the aged. All right, then what?
In King James.
Now, this is the way to run a church. Now, these are instructions to Timothy, because he has, and Paul sent him to take care of a church, and he needed some more training because he was young. And so Paul gave these instructions in to him, and they're for us too. Those of us that rule or reign in churches or are the head of churches, and people that are in the church. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? You said talking to young women and to young men. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody. Okay, then what?
In King James, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine.
So, especially those, double honor to those that labor in the word. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so read what I says.
Let the elders in the church that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, to be paid well.
That's what it means, to be paid well. And you know that it's being paid well, because right after this he gives you the scripture of the ox is worthy of his food. Amen?
Amen.
So that's why, you know, we know that he's saying to be paid well, double honor. In other words, give me double bucks. Amen? That's what he's saying. Right?
Right.
Honor them, not with words. I can't, those people can't eat the words, but they can eat, you know, when they got money, they can go buy themselves an extra pear or an orange or something, right?
Right.
Or bananas. Okay, what else?
Let the elders in the church that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, to be paid well, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine, especially those who labor at preaching and teaching.
Thank you. So preachers and teachers are supposed to get double money. Well, I do get money, but I usually give it all back to the church. I mean, because we used to run pretty short, you know, at times. And there was like 7 months or so that I didn't even get paid, right?
Right.
And the government makes me get paid, because they figure, you know, we want you to pay taxes. So the Lord says... render taxes unto Caesar. Amen.
Amen.
And that's it. Okay, then what?
In King James, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn.
In other words, you're going to feed them, right? Right. Okay, so go ahead and read what I said.
For the scripture says, quote, do not keep the ox from eating as it treads out the grain.
And the Lord is not talking about, you know, animals. He's talking about the elders that rule well in the word, that are teaching and preaching. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? So don't look at me with, you know, if I get paid. It's a rule. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Then King James, and the laborer is worthy of his reward.
That's another one. It's wow, money, you know? Okay, read what I said.
And in another place, quote, those who do their work in the Lord deserve their pay.
Okay, now what are you going to do with that, huh? All right, then what else?
In King James, and against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses.
Okay, then read what I say.
Do not listen to complaints against an elder unless there are two or three witnesses to accuse him.
Right. If you've got two or three witnesses, you can come in, face an elder face to face, not be whispering and backbiting like these wanton young widows do, because you get in a lot of trouble with the Lord, because this is not my writings. This is the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Through the great Apostle Paul. Then what?
In King James, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear.
That's it, right there. Rebuke before everybody. And sin is disobedience to the Lord. Okay, now go ahead.
All those who sin must be rebuked in the midst, in the front of the whole church, so all the others will have a true fear of God.
Amen?
Amen.
Well, you don't like that, huh? Well, I see some disgruntled faces. Well, that's the way it is. Amen?
Amen.
I pretty much do that anyway, don't I?
Yes.
All right, then what?
In King James.
I already did that. I already knew that scripture. Okay, what else?
King James, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality.
Okay, now go into the exhortation.
I solemnly command you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus and the holy angels to obey these instructions without taking sides or showing special favor to anyone.
Yeah, you can't rebuke somebody in front of everybody and not somebody else if they're doing wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
King James, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure.
Okay.
Never be in a hurry about appointing an elder. Do not participate in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure.
Then what?
King James, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Don't drink only water. You should drink a little wine for the sake of your stomach, because you are sick so often.
Yeah. Did you ever hear of the wine of the Spirit of the Lord and the wine of the wrath of the Lord?
Yes.
This is symbolic here, okay? Get really into the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? Because the Holy Spirit, wine doesn't heal your stomach. The Spirit casts out devils and heals your stomach. Amen?
Amen.
The stomach is the area where your soul is, your spirit, right in your chest and stomach area. And it even says that in the original writings about this belly, okay, being where the life, where your life is. That's why you got to do a lot of sit-ups. No, I'm just teasing it. Okay, what else?
In King James, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after.
Okay, go ahead and read.
Remember that some people lead sinful lives, and everyone knows they will be judged.
Right, and everyone can see it. You know, you can see people that are doing wrong, can't you?
Yes.
Right. And you can see people that are doing good, can't you?
Yes.
Right, it just stands out. No one is hidden, except some are sinning secretly, and then it'll be found out later, and some are doing good secretly, and that'll be found out later. Okay, go ahead.
But there are others whose sin will not be revealed until later. In King James, Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid.
And they that sin can't be hid. You can spot them a mile away, can't you?
Yes.
And so if you can see them, make sure, believe, you know, that the Lord can see them too. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
In the same way, everyone knows how much good some Christian people do, but there are others whose good deeds won't be known until later.
Okay. All right, now the message.
Purifying oneself.
How to purify yourself. Okay.
Although the salvation or redemption of our soul is plainly a matter of God's power, still, after John the Apostle said that we should be like him and see him as he is.
We should be like Christ and see him as he is. So, becoming like him is, it takes concentration and we have to carry a cross. So that's not a light statement to just brush over. Okay, what else?
He proceeds on by saying, quote, and everyone that hath this hope set on him.
That has this hope of being like him. Some people just hear this message and they don't ever even give it a try to be like him. Okay, go ahead.
Purifieth himself even as he is.
Yeah, you must purify yourself. Purify yourself as he is pure. Then what?
It's 1 John 3:3.
Okay, go ahead.
And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure.
Then what?
This hope refers to the words, quote, be like him.
Be like him. And when our bodies are redeemed, then we'll be exactly like him. But our spirit must be like him if we want our bodies to be redeemed to be like his. Okay, then what?
The word purifying in this verse is different from being clean.
Yeah, there's a difference between purification and cleansing yourself. Purifying yourself. Then what?
To be clean means to be without defilement and to be without mixture. The way to purify ourselves is through the shining of the light of life within us. John 1:4.
Jesus said that we purify ourselves by the word, by conforming ourselves to the word, not just reading it, but conforming ourselves with the desire to be pure. Okay, then what? Read it.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
So, and he is the word. All right? And Jesus said, you are cleansed through my word. Amen?
Amen.
Clean, pure. Then what?
This is so that we may know ourselves and do away with everything that displeases God.
Yeah, we have to take inventory of ourselves to see how much confirmation we've made each day. How much we've changed every day into his likeness. Okay, then what?
At Psalm 36:9. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light.
Right. In Christ, we shall see more of Christ, the Word. Okay, then what?
We are now those who have God's nature.
Now, those of us who are saved are the ones that now have God's nature, the seed of God's in us. And now we have to be conformed to his fullness.
Therefore, according to the consciousness which comes from the nature of the life of God.
Yeah, we have a God consciousness. We're conscious of the Lord being in us and talking to us and are talking to him and a direction from him. Read that again.
Therefore, according to the consciousness which comes from the nature of the life of God.
Living in us, then what?
We should not only deal with sin, but with everything that is of ourselves.
Yeah, we should not only deal with just sin, but what?
With everything that is of ourselves.
With every wrong thing with ourselves. We know that we're weak here and weak there, and we need to become strong everywhere, because if we're going to be like him, he's strong. Amen?
Amen.
And powerful. So that's the kind of life we have available to us, and we want to receive it. So we have to not only deal with sin and to flee from the very appearance of evil and flee from sin, and but we have to take an inventory of ourselves on a daily basis and check it out, what we know is wrong, and face up to it and change it. All right, then what? By the Word.
And deal with all that is not of God's will.
Right. There's a lot of people that are reluctant to love to do their own will. That has to be changed to where we're doing God's will. Otherwise, we're not going to be like Jesus. He said his will is to do the Father's will, the will of the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
This is the meaning of purifying ourselves. And there is a purification that is even deeper than this. A brother who has become learned in the Lord speaks of purification in this way. There is a danger in spirituality, and it is experience victory and sanctification.
Yeah, because some people can experience many things in the Lord, and then they come to, but there's still something missing. So they experience what?
Victory and sanctification.
Victory over the sin, Satan, and the flesh, in the world, and victory over sanctifying, making yourself separate from the world. Then what?
And be fruitful in our work.
And they win souls, okay? Because they work at winning souls. Then what? They do all these things. Then what?
That is to be a soul winner. Then possess spiritual gifts and righteousness.
And then they can receive spiritual gifts. Like I asked the Lord for the ability to write, and he let me do that. And there's other gifts, speaking in tongues, there's... I can lay hands on people and they can recover, and they do recover. And if they don't, there's something wrong. The Lord tells me why they're not recovering, and they need to get to a hospital or something, because maybe their faith is not strong to believe it. It's on their faith that they get healed. And then also, I've called upon the Lord to stop it from raining. That's a gift. Amen.
Amen.
And it would stop every time. Amen.
Amen.
And I've never tried to get it raining because I'm not that crazy about rain. Oh, I did one time, remember?
Yes.
Yeah, the guy down at the halfway house said, "Why don't you pray to God for it to rain?" And I says, "Okay, I will." And it just rained and wouldn't stop for days. That was during the big drought over here. Okay, and then what else? I forgot about that.
You did it in prison too when it was hot?
Yeah, and I did it another time. Okay, yeah, that's right. When I was in prison for the Lord's work, it was extremely hot, and I was working in the laundry, and everybody was just about ready to die. The temperature was over 100, and we're in those hot tumblers there, the dryers around that. And I said, "Lord, can you cause it to rain?" And the skies were just perfectly blue. I took a little walk right up to the front part just to get a drink of water, and when I came back, it was pouring down rain. And everybody says, "Man, what happened? It was the skies. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, and it was just pouring down rain. And the cottonwood seeds or something were all gathered, because there was a slope, a driveway down, and they were gathered down there, just flooding down there, all yellow, these yellow seeds or whatever they were." And I prayed, and it did it. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm not that crazy about rain, except when it gets too hot like that, or if people request it. Okay, then what?
Then deeper purification means that even that which comes from God's revelation, which issues from the resurrection life of Christ in us.
Right, because when your spirit is now alive in the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord talks to you. He issues his word to your spirit. And if you're looking for answers and for a deeper walk with the Lord, you can have it if you desire it. But if you don't desire it, you're not seeking it, and don't expect anything from the Lord if you're not seeking for purification or anything else. Then what?
That should not be relied on to remain or allowed to remain.
Right. Then what?
it will not remain anyway.
No, it won't, and it's not supposed to. Okay, because you're supposed to have a daily renewal. You can't receive something from the Lord today and expect it to remain there. I mean, you have to tank up every day. You can't expect to get in your car and drive it down the street forever. You have to, you know, tank up again. Amen?
Amen.
It's the same way with the Holy Spirit. You can't go and eat breakfast this morning and don't eat breakfast again or any more meals for the rest of your life without dying, okay?
Okay.
So you have to be spiritually fed every day, renewed. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what else?
There is the process of metabolism in growth of life.
Right. There's... It's the Spirit of the Lord. Just like you have a metabolism in your body, you have a metabolism in the Spirit. Okay? Then what?
This means that anything which comes from the resurrection life will never be lost.
It will never be lost if you continue... refreshing it every day. You'll grow, and the growth will always stay there. It'll never leave you. Unless you stop refreshing your spirit daily. Then what?
If we keep it fresh, it will always be fresh.
It will always be there. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
But it must be kept in the newness of the Holy Spirit. And not only remember...
Yeah, renewed mind daily and renew the spirit daily. It's like receiving the baptism every day. You have to seek it and receive it. And be refreshed. Amen?
Amen.
It's the latter rain. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
But it must be kept in the newness of the Holy Spirit and not only remembered in the mind.
Right, because, I remember some people, they tell me, I remember when the Lord talked to me about 15 years ago, it was so supernatural. I said, well, what happened since the 15, all these other 15 years? He hasn't talked to you, he talks to me every day. They're not busy renewing and refreshing the spirit or their minds. So hopefully this message will wake them up, you know, and then they'll start doing that. Amen?
Amen.
And what?
Everything that has its beginning in the Lord's resurrection life will not be lost.
No, if you continue on, if you press on, if you do what the Lord says, you're regenerated. And then you have to continue on in learning and receiving the daily refreshments, the eating and drinking of the Word, until you're totally conformed to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
It will remain in us always if we keep it fresh.
If. Little word with a big meaning. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing will be lost. Ever. Then what?
It will become part of our life and become a part of our very being.
Right, this refreshment every day, the constant infilling of the Holy Spirit, the renewal of the mind and the renewal of the spirit every day, amen, of
amen.
Our spirit. And it comes, we know that we have the resurrected life because we feel the presence of the Lord and we can hear Him talking to us and we respond back to Him. And if you're not, you're a foreigner or something. You know, you're playing a game. All right, then what?
Whenever a particular thing is needed, required, we only need it in the Holy Spirit for it to be fresh and living, as if we had just seen it.
Right. If you are eating regular food necessary for your body and drinking for your necessary life, well, that isn't going to do anything for your spirit. All right? It has to be from the resurrection. All right, then what else? From the Holy Spirit in you. And from your desire to be purified. All right, then what else?
These words are not easily understood, but they do call forth a response in us. Brothers and sisters, if we have such a hope in Christ, we will say to ourselves what the Apostle John said, quote, "Everyone that hath this hope set on himself purifieth himself, and then we will rise up and walk according to the shining of the Holy Spirit.
All right, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and we just read the fifth chapter of 1 Timothy and an exhortation afterwards. And Lord willing, we'll be doing chapter 6 tomorrow. God bless till then. Amen. Bye.